I don't know what to do with all these wires. Y'all said that there have been a lot of lightning strikes. I don't know if this is intentional. Are y'all trying to set me up for something? I'm beginning to wonder. Wayne, and Wayne's leaving, aren't you? Okay, all right. Well, I don't know. I am glad to be back with you guys. I miss you, and I love this church. And greetings from Murfreesboro and the Kingwood Church of Christ. And we are doing well. It's hard to believe it's been 2.5 years since we have been a part of this church family. Isn't that hard to believe? 2.5 years? I will get to the important stuff. My wife, Katie, is here. And I'm very thankful to be accompanied by her tonight. She is about to begin teaching again after a summer off. And so she'll be she's a speech pathologist. At Stewartsboro Elementary off Almaville Road. So this is year three, I guess, year three, back there in the school systems in Rutherford County. My boys, Nate, is about to be a senior in high school. And Josh will be an eighth grader. And so it's just amazing. They've had a great summer. Just got back from ABC. Loved it thoroughly, as you would expect. And you know, it just, we feel like, you know, we didn't leave Antioch per se as much as we gained another church family. And so we still feel very much a part of this church. So thank you for allowing me to come back. And James, if I hear thunder, I'm out of this stuff. Okay. I just want you to know that. I love y'all, but I'm not quite ready to go yet. I feel like I've got work to do. Okay. So with that being said, we're going to talk about Luke chapter 5 tonight. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to jump in there, and I'm going to kind of share a story with you that is one of my, it's my current favorite, if you know what I mean. It's like, this story is my favorite. Well, you said last week that was your favorite. Well, it was last week. And so, but this one does kind of have a recurring love in my life. It's just, I'm passionate about the story. I learn something new from it every time. It's one of those stories that captures my heart, my attention. And y'all can, as you find Luke 5, that's fine. I want to flip over personally, and I'm going to just give you a reading from Mark chapter 1. And I want you to listen to this, okay? Just listen. This is the calling of the first disciples, particularly the calling of Peter, all right? Now, I want you to listen. Let's see. It says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Okay, I started reading the wrong spot. That's the sign of getting old, isn't it? Here we go. Verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Okay, that is three verses. Mark 1, 16, 17, 18. Who's ever heard that before? Okay, so the story is Jesus calls Peter and his brother to be fishers of men. They leave their nets and go. That story bugged me for the longest time because I thought, what person in their right mind would do that, would just stop all of a sudden what they were doing, their profession, just walk away? My thought was there has to be more to that story. And if you think about it, Mark is the shortest gospel, and he's always kind of just to the point. Okay? So Mark shares basically, this is what happened. Jesus called those guys, they started following him, they left everything. But there is more to the story, and that's what we're going to talk about in Luke chapter 5. Luke, being a very detailed person, at the beginning of Luke chapter 1, he talks about, I've investigated all these things. Luke was not in the presence of Jesus. He was a later follower of Jesus, a companion of Paul, but he wasn't there. And so neither was Mark, but he goes into much more detail. And it's in that detail that we learn a lot of interesting things that I think can be very applicable to us and also help me get over me not understanding that story quite as much, okay? And actually, I think it deepens it and makes it even more beautiful that they left everything they knew and followed Jesus. So let's read together. I'm going to read the whole thing through because I believe we need to be devoted to the public reading of the Word, but also because I want you to get a feel for the difference between Mark's version and Luke's version, and then we'll kind of lay some things out. All right, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him, listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down. He taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, verse 6, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Same story. Much more detail in this one. Isn't that interesting? You know, there's a lot that could be said about the difference in each of the Gospels. And why, and who their audiences were, and so forth. But the main point I want you to get tonight is just Luke elaborates so much more and gives so much more background to the story. And again, he says in Luke 1, "I investigated all these things." So I want us to kind of break this down. I want us to think in terms tonight of three boats. Okay? Now, there were two boats on the seashore, so I haven't miscounted. But I want you to think in terms of three boats. All right? So here's the first boat. Let's think about this. Again, let me just read this section. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Okay, so just use your imagination for a minute. Jesus is standing by this huge lake. The people are pressing in. They're crowding around him. They're wanting to listen to the word of God. They're wanting to hear this amazing preacher. They've heard about healings. They've sensed the authority that's different than other teachers. And Jesus sees on the edge, pulled up on the edge, two boats. The fishermen who had fished all night had parked them there, and they're fixing their nets. The tangles, the rips, the tears. They're making sure they're clean so that they're ready for the next fishing trip. I don't know about anybody here a fisherman? One of my normal fishing mistakes, this is just a sidebar, is that I don't prepare ahead of time to fish. Every year we go to the beach, and I don't fish as much as I'd like to, but I like to fish when we're at the beach. And every year, I have a bucket. And in that bucket is a collection of hooks, bait, weights, line, and other assorted junk I have bought through the years. Okay, reels. Okay, and every year, we take it down there, and I spend at least an hour or two that first night gearing up. Well, I thought I had, it's rusted, doggone it. I'm just going to cut this line and I fix this. And to be honest with you, it started out with me fishing, and now it's turned into about four other boys. If they're not here, so I'm going to say boys fishing, okay? If they were here, I might say young men. But boys fishing, and I used to have to do everything. They've gotten a little more accomplished now, just enough to be dangerous, if you know what I mean. And so, but I spent a lot of time rigging the stuff up and making sure the hooks are, you know, they're not bent or they're not rusted or they're sharp or they're tied on or, you know, whatever it is. So I spent a lot of time, and it's amazing how much time you spend preparing. And it's amazing how much time you spend preparing and you wonder, is this even worth it? Okay? I say all that to say this. Jesus walks up and the fishermen are cleaning and washing their nets. And so, interestingly enough, he gets into one of the empty boats. Okay, that's the first boat. It's an empty boat, and it's interesting. The scripture says it's the one belonging to who? Simon, also known as Peter. That's probably random, right? I mean, you know how random things are. It just happened to belong to Peter. Again, let's just kind of hit the pause button there and fast forward. Peter becomes a very significant person in the ministry of Christ, in the beginning of the early church, in Christian history, etc. He's also someone that most of us can probably relate very well to because he was probably the most unqualified person that Jesus could have picked, just like me or you. He's just one of us. So Jesus just, quote unquote, happens to pick that boat, right? Well, again, he gets into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and what? He asks him to put out a little from shore. Okay, now, imagine what Peter's thought process might be at this time. Anybody want to just kind of use some imagination, some godly imagination? What would Peter be thinking? What's he been doing? How might he be feeling about this request? He's working on something. You ever had somebody come and interrupt you? Even if it's somebody you like. Even if it's somebody that you respect. Or okay, I'm in the middle of something here. I've been up all night. I'm tired. Okay. I'll do it. So he puts out a little bit. I don't know if he kept cleaning his nets or whatever. But Peter, who I don't know if was in the boat or was away from the boat, at least he was somewhere near enough the boat that Jesus said, hey, Peter, I need you to do something for me. Would you put out just a little bit from shore so that the people will stop, you know, pressing on me so I can speak and have a good, you know, amphitheater effect or whatever. Okay. Now, let's think about this for just a second. What does Jesus do? Jesus is teaching people. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Okay, time out. Let's just think this through. Where is Simon Peter? He's in the boat. Okay? He's now in the boat. Is there anyone that's closer to Jesus at this time, physically? We don't know, but my guess would be probably not. He might be as close to Jesus as anybody else on, I don't know how far out he went, but he's right there. Maybe he's mentally distracted, maybe he's still working on stuff physically, but he is right there to hear every single word, every single thought, every single illustration, example. He's there. That was not his plan for the day, was it? His plan for the day was, I got to get this stuff cleaned up, washed, and get ready for the next one. But Jesus invited him into his own boat and asked for a favor. I said, would you put out just a little bit? And Peter was there, and he was able to listen. Now, I'm going to call that boat, I'm going to call that situation one where Peter is a casual listener. You ever done that? You ever been in a situation, maybe overheard a conversation? I mean, I love to listen and watch people. Anybody else like that? Anybody else like to stalk? I mean, listen to people? Yeah, I'm fascinated by it. I really am. I can say, oh, he's breaking up with her. Or, you know, oh, they're mad. Or, ooh, he's good news. You know, I love to watch people. I love that interaction, those conversations, those facial expressions and body language, and just it's so fascinating to me. Well, here's Peter, who this wasn't, again, on his schedule, and he's there, and he's listening to everything Jesus is saying. Think about some of the teachings of Jesus. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is a collection of things that he said while he was on the Mount, or if you look at Luke, it's the Sermon on the Plain. He's got amazing teachings about anger, about your words, about forgiveness, about prayer. We don't know what he was sharing, but you imagine Peter, this old bumbling fisherman, is sitting there and he's going, man, this was not on my to-do list today, but this is pretty interesting. I'm getting a lot of good stuff here. So Peter, at this point, though, is just a listener, right? We're going to come back to that. He's just a listener. All right. Just like Jesus always does, he doesn't leave Peter right there, does he? He didn't leave him there, and he didn't leave us where we are. He kind of gently sometimes gives us a kick in the pants, but generally just kind of says, let's move. Again, he just randomly picked Peter's boat out of the two. I mean, he had a 50-50 chance, but he picked Peter's boat. And here's what happens next. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water. Let down the nets for a catch. Okay. Are you paying me for this? Is this like a fishing trip? You know, what's going on here? I mean, you know, it's not uncommon if you go to the beach or wherever, to the lake, you know, you want a guide. Okay, that's reasonable. But Peter's got a choice to make, doesn't he? He's got to decide, hey, you know, the one thing wasn't too bad. I was actually able to keep working on my nets, but now I'm being asked to put into deep water. That is more of a what? Commitment. It's more of an ask than the other. I've got to go out into deep water. And then I've got to let down the nets. The nets I've been working hard to get cleaned up. Are you kidding me? So what does Peter say? He says, absolutely, I'm on board. 100%. That's not what he said. I love this language. Peter is so believable. You know what I mean? He is so, it's like, I get it. He says things that I think, though. You know, I'm like, don't say that. But he says it. All right, here's what he says. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Okay, first of all, that's pretty bad. If you're a fisherman, and if you fish much or you've been around fishing, maybe your dad, granddad, brother, husband, aunt, grandma, whatever, are fishermen. And if you're putting that much time out there, and there are other joys to fishing, but you still want to catch something. We've worked hard. He didn't say we've had fun all night and didn't catch anything. They said, we've worked hard net fishing and caught nothing. But what does he say next? But because you say so. Let that sink in. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. What's going on here? Simon is taking a step. He went from, again, think about this. Jesus is speaking, he's teaching, he's carrying on. Simon is in the boat. You know, maybe he was over here doing something, working on his nets, and Jesus said, hey, you, is that your boat? Yeah, yeah, it's my boat. Would you put out a little bit? Yeah, yeah, I will. We'll go out a little bit. You know, y'all are the crowd, and he's sitting here, and Jesus is teaching, he's listening, and Jesus disperses the crowd, and then Jesus says, hey, let's go to the deep water and fish. Oh, man, I've been up all night. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm ready to go home, see my wife, see my kids. We know he had a wife, right? His mother-in-law had a fever. So to have a mother-in-law, you had to have at one point had a wife. And so he, all right, because you said so. Because you said so, I'll do it. See, he had already begun to put at least a little bit of faith into a carpenter. What's he know about fishing? Maybe he knows more about boat making, but does he know anything about fishing? All right, but Peter takes this step. He's now moving from a casual listener to what I would say is a cautious believer. What do you think that means, to say cautious believer? Do you hear that in his words? Because you say, I mean, here's the excuses. I'm tired. We've been up all night. It wasn't successful. It's probably pointless. But because you say so, we'll give it a try. casual listener to cautious believer. Okay.
How did he know he was a carpenter? He was not from that part of the
This is true.
This,
he may not have known a thing.
He may never have seen him before. And remember, his right. boat would have had at least three or four other people that he was responsible for. So when he said, we have fished all night, he's talking about the crew here.
And he's also... And the other boat.
That's right, the other boats have...
Because the way a net fisherman would have fished, right? You guys got that end of the net. We got this end of the net. Let's start circling up. Let's get them. So even if he's the boss, the other guys are probably going, this is crazy. We've never done this before. Yeah. I mean, you're right. That's a great point. So he's moving from casual listener to cautious believer. And it's interesting. Jesus rewards his faith for that. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So, verse 7, they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. By the way, do you know what the Greek is for signaled right there? Help! No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Okay, just... That was Greek. Okay, so that's the old youth minister me coming out there to have kind of a little smarty pants thing. But I suspect that's not far from the truth. I like that he says signaled. You know, listen, if I catch something, or if you got something big going on, I want everybody to know about it, especially if it's about to sink the boat and it's about to bust the nets and... So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Okay, now let's just brainstorm for a second. What's going on in Peter's mind during all this? What's he thinking?
I sure am lucky.
Booyah, cha-ching, whatever.
All my, look how great I am.
I have finally been proven right. I knew this was the time to go out, right? There's a lot of possibilities there, isn't there? First boat, casual listener, sitting there listening to Jesus. Second boat, cautious believer, going out because you say so. And then what's his response? What does Scripture say? When Simon Peter... Verse 8, saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. He fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. What does that mean? I'm a sinful man. Why did he say that? He realized what? This is a miracle. For this to be a miracle, this person has to be, he's heard the teaching, he's now seen this miracle, he probably had heard about other things going on in Jesus' ministry to some extent. This is very early, but he reacted with a true assessment of himself. Like, this does not compute, this does not add up, this does not make sense, I got to get away from this. I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I know whose presence I'm in. Or at least I know who I am, and I am not that. Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Okay? Those names are going to be significant too in the life and times of the early church and Jesus' followers. James and John, Peter, Andrew. Okay. So what does Jesus say to Simon? I told you so. I told you so. Aren't you glad you let me use your boat? No. Peter went from a casual listener in that first boat to a cautious believer to now he's going to be invited to take another step. I call this to be a crazed, as in crazy, a crazed adventurer. Because what he basically says is probably not at all what any of us would have expected. Jesus says to Simon, don't be afraid. I mean, he read right through him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So, they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. They pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. That last boat is an empty boat, sitting on the shore with nets maybe folded over. I don't know what they did with the fish. I hope they gave them to people or took them home or did something. I mean, I hope. Maybe they didn't. But Peter left his boat. He left his income, his security, his identity. He left it all to follow this man who challenged him to his core, to his identity, where he realized, I am, get away. I'm scared to death of this. So he went from a casual listener to a cautious believer to a crazed adventurer. And just think for a second about Peter's adventures. Think about the things he saw Jesus do, the people he healed, the people he brought back to life. He saw Lazarus come back to life. He saw him deal with incredible pressure from the religious authorities of that day and stand up in the face of imminent death. He saw him say things in a way that nobody had ever said things before. He saw him play with kids and love on people who nobody else would even touch. And then he saw himself be a part of that ministry, be a part of healing, of casting out demons, of praying, of teaching, but also of what? Of also betraying Jesus. You know, it's no. In my mind, it's no coincidence at all that the last chapter of John, Peter goes fishing. There's no coincidence in my mind. That's who, at his core, he was, a fisherman. And so when Jesus, after he betrayed Jesus, Jesus was crucified and they were waiting on him to come back, Peter was flirting with going back to his old life. And so when Jesus approaches him and says, you know, has that exchange about, you know, Peter, do you love me? You know, Lord, that I do. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I do. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. There were three times that he said that because he had denied Christ three times. So think about this life that Peter was invited to. He had no idea what was in front of him. This crazy adventure. All right. So what does this mean to us? Couple of quick points. Don't you love that story? Doesn't that fill in the gaps on Jesus was walking, told the guys, and they just followed him? It's like, okay, there's got to be more to that. Well, there was. All right, a couple things. I think you can easily see that in this encounter, it's a process. It's a process. Peter was drawn to Jesus slowly and surely and invited to take little steps. Sometimes, maybe not little, but steps closer. From cautious listener to casual listener to cautious believer to crazy. It didn't just happen where Jesus walked up and said, hey, I want you to leave everything. He brought him that way. So here's what I think. Two things tonight. One, I would say, is where are you and I on that list? Which boat are we in? Are we in the... I mean, I assume that at a minimum you have some interest in the Christian faith because you're here. You may be a lifetime devoted follower of Christ. You may have wandered into the building. I don't know everybody here tonight. I know most everybody. But generally speaking, so which boat are you in? Because I think it's possible for us, even if we are lifetime followers of Christ or long term, to be in any of those three boats. We can still be in the casual listener boat. I'm just listening. It's a great sermon, great worship, great stories about Jesus. But no action. Nothing's been required yet. Nothing's been expected. Nothing's been asked. Or if it has been, we've kind of said, whatever. We need more information, more time, more. The second boat, cautious believer, which I think maybe most of us could be in, perhaps. We've been asked to do some things. We've given it a try. We've gone out to sea, so to speak. We've been challenged with some things. We've tried some things. We've taken our shot at living the Christian life. But then in those moments of truth where Jesus asks us a little bit more than we can even bear, we scream out with our words or our actions, "I am afraid, get away from me. I'm scared to death. What are you asking me to do? Who are you?" And we have those reality checks, and then we try to swim back to the other boat. Get me back in the casual listener boat, because that is pretty safe, really. But I want to challenge us. I believe, just like Peter, true disciples are called to be crazed adventurers. And I mean, there's at least one person in this room tonight that needs to hear this. At least one that needs to hear this. We are called to be crazed adventurers. Not just to do crazy things for no reason or for any reason, but because Jesus asked us to do that. To give up things that we don't want to give up. To love people we don't want to love. To say things that we know are not going to be received well. To reach out to people who are really hard to reach out to. But we are called to be those kind of followers. Well, I'm going to stop. But again, I would issue a challenge tonight, and I would just say, you know, which boat are you in? Which boat are you in? It may be you're a casual listener, maybe you're a cautious believer, maybe you are indeed a crazed adventurer. I pray, and I will pray for all of us, that in times like this, it's time to evaluate and go, okay, for real. You like my teen lingo there? For real. Where am I? Which one am I? Today. Not back in my greater days or what will I be, but what are you right now? And be honest about it and just kind of reconcile that and say, God, I'm not where I want to be, or I'm exactly where I want to be. Keep bringing it. I'm ready. But let's get on this adventure. Life is so short. So short. We got work to do. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters at Antioch. You know my heart and Katie's heart and our boys. This is and will always be our home. Father, I thank you for the church at Kingwood. And there are so many good churches in this area that want to do your will and that are growing and struggling and wrestling with matters of faith and discipleship. And Father, I'm so thankful for Peter and that story that Luke lays out for us is such a deeper story that we can be challenged by that. I see so much of him in me, and I want more of you in me. And Father, I thank you for allowing us a chance to be on an adventure, to be your disciples, to be your followers, to live lives that we could never have imagined. Father, I just pray for each of us tonight. We'll look at ourselves and we'll just ask that honest question, which boat am I in? And Father, that you'll help us to be about your business. We know you love us and we love you too. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and it's through him that we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for letting me come tonight. Blessings.